your help for this service to continue. Help KPFK to move the conversation forward. Please pledge your financial support to KPFK right now, if you can, by going to kpfk.org/donate. Or you can dial 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Easy to remember. And we thank you for being part of the family.
This is KPFK
90.7 FM,
Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH, this is the Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world, Michelle Spencer, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a radio veteran, a practicing attorney, and an owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here with you.
And our good friend, and who is back, and thank goodness he's back, because we had a heck of a time pushing all the wrong buttons the last 2 weeks. Everything's going to go fine this week. It's going to go smooth. We welcome back our good friend, an actual race car driver, a motorcyclist, and another automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of Hispanic Motor Press, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Well, thank you very much for keeping my place here, and I surely missed you, and I'm sure there's so many things that we need to catch up, but it's wonderful to be in LA where car culture, it's all everywhere.
It is everywhere. There's a lot of events going on, and we're going to get right into those. First, we're going to do a preamble where we say, please, if you can, before you head out to one of these events, go to the website and make sure it is still happening. It's not often, but sometimes they cancel things for rain, for who knows what reason. So check it out. We'll try to give you the website with every one of these before you go check it out. Please. First of all, we're going to go back right here in LA to the Peterson Automotive Museum for Wagon Fest. Now, automotive journalists are supposed to love station wagons, right? I never really got into station wagons. I could understand vans. Did you guys ever have a longing for a station wagon?
No.
Well, I liked them. We had one of those Corvair station wagons in the 60s.
Wow.
So I grew up in one. Yeah.
Wow. Did it catch fire?
No.
Did it spin out?
No. We took it to Disneyland and all over the place. Yeah, wow. No problems. Yeah.
You should have hung on to that. It'd be worth hundreds of dollars.
Exactly. They're very rare. I don't think I've ever seen another one.
My memories with the station wagon, this is when we were in like high school, and one of the classmates had a, I think it was 1958 or 1959, Mercedes-Benz 220 wagon diesel. That I remember every time we got off the school, you know, you needed to warm up the famous block for the diesel engine. And sometimes you got to wait and wait and wait and wait. And eventually started, and it was very, very, very slow. I remember that. But it was fun because we were probably like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10 people inside. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. There you go. See, we've had a lot of your friends.
We grew up with vans. We had Ford vans, and how we survived. I mean, if you look at the NHTSA, we're here to talk about Wagon Fest at the Peterson. Yes, that's right. Wagon as in station wagon, coming up tomorrow at the Peterson Automotive Museum, 6060 Wilshire Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. It goes from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They are calling it a jaw-dropping car show cruising event like no other. Again, legally speaking, Michelle, it has to be that good, or they couldn't say it, right? Our resident attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
All right. And they're calling themselves the prestigious Peterson Automotive Museum. It is hosted by the Avance community. Now, Avance, of course, is the European term for station wagon. and proudly presented by Michelin Tires. Wagon Fest promises a day filled with sleek lines, vintage charm, and the unmistakable allure of wagons, which neither Ricardo nor I understood, but Michelle has fond memories of it. So maybe you will go to that. Wagon Fest has something for everyone. Classic models to modern marvels. I guess they still sell some. Audi sells one. Mercedes, what do you think, Ricardo? What do you think?
The only wagon that I know it's worth is the bread wagon from Ferrari from the 1960s.
The bread van. The bread van. Yeah, see, even that was called a van. I saw one at the last Concorso Italiano that I went to, and I said, oh, the bread van. I got excited, ran over. There's a fiberglass replica.
Oh.
Can't believe anything. Oh. But a great wagon maker, Volvo, will in fact be there. They're going to bring some of their old stuff, some of their new stuff. I think they have four or five wagons there, the V90 cross country, V60 cross country, but they will also have a 455 horsepower V60 recharge T8 plug-in hybrid wagon, among others. So check that out. That again is Wagon Fest at the Peterson Automotive Museum tomorrow, Sunday, June 23rd, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Peterson Automotive Museum at Wilshire and Fairfax, right in downtown LA. There's no traffic going in, so and there's lots of parking. You park there in the same parking structure where Wagon Fest is. So check that out. Another thing I just found out about, also for Sunday tomorrow, Inland Empire. There's a show called Cruising Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon, of course, is the name of a street there, Mount Vernon Avenue, put on by Inland Empire Cruise Nights in La Placida Park. It's being billed as a California lowrider holiday. We love lowriders here on the car show. And at the Peterson, if you go to the Wagon Fest, you can see I think it's got to be the best collection of lowriders ever assembled at the Peterson Museum. So if you go to Wagon Fest, pay however much it takes to get into the museum and see that. It's just stunning. It's literally stunning. But another lowrider event is Cruising Mount Vernon, Sunday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. And it lies on historic Route 66. Please obey all traffic laws, they say. Okay. Well, you know, the idea is to go low and slow. So it's easy to obey traffic laws when you have a lowrider. And the state of California will be representing the Inland Empire at Cruising Mount Vernon. That is their hashtag. And so you can post all your photos if you go to that open invitation, they're saying, to all car clubs, solo riders, Vicleros, V-I-C-L-E-R-O-S. Ricardo, help me out. What's that word?
Those are the bicycles, the lowrider bicycles.
Ah, okay, got it. Classics, customs, and families. Come barbecue in the park or just chill and cruise. That's at 650 North Mount Vernon Avenue in San Bernardino. San Bernardino, I can say it. Cruising Mount Vernon, Sunday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. Also, way to the east of us. Michelle, take us to Paris.
Oh, lovely Paris. It's wonderful in the summer.
Nah.
Paris, California, that is. Because they have a dirt track out there. If you haven't been there, you need to go because it's pretty much the only game in town as far as the dirt tracks. So at the end of the month, June 29th, is that the date here? Saturday night.
They're going to next Saturday.
Yes, next Saturday. It's they're going to have Night of Destruction, which is my favorite, next to the sprint cars. So this is tons of action. They're going to have it all configured for figure eight racing, including the trailers. And then after the show, you get fireworks. But when you go in, they're offering a special deal where they're going to give you a coupon for a hot dog and a flag to wave.
That is great. Mm-hmm. And it's only $25 for adults, $5 for kids, 6 to 12, free for 5 and under. That's
yeah.
great.
They want to encourage families. That's a big thing there at Paris. They love to see a lot of kids getting into it and enjoying the racing. And, of course, at the end of the races, you always get to go inside the pits for free. There's no extra charge to that. And That's go cool. cruise around. The drivers always have hero cards. They always have merch for sale. So you can have your kids sit in the cars if you want. It's really, really fun to hang around after and go and check it out in the pits. Gates open at 5 p.m. The races start at 7. If you'd like to get your tickets at the gate, that's fine. But you can also buy them ahead of time online at parisautospeedway.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And what about if you don't want to go all the way to Paris?
Yeah, if you don't want to go to Paris and you don't want to be watching the dirt racing, there's an alternative that same night. Drift and
again,
drag.
We're talking about Saturday, June 29th for both these events.
Next Saturday. Next
Sorry,
Saturday.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah. This is at Irwindale Speedway. It's called Drift and Drag Night. And so they're going to have a lot of the tuner and import crowd there. This is brought to you by Import Expo. They're in their 14th year. If you want to go and watch drifting, it's $25 for GA at $35 at the gate and $25 if you buy in advance.
Okay.
And so try to do that. You can also
the best part, Michelle, about that is that actually they're going to have you might be able to get into a drift car.
Exactly.
And take part as a passenger, and that's quite an experience. So that's something to keep in mind. That if you've never, you know, if you've seen it on TV, but you've never been as close to a drift car, hey, here's your chance to be the passenger and scare the bejolas out of you. And so make sure you got the proper undergarments.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it does cost extra, of course, to do a ride-along, but you'll get two or three laps with a pro drifter. And you have to sign a waiver, of course, because you have to make the lawyers happy. You have to be 18. And you have to have your GA ticket plus this extra ticket called a ride-along in order to do that.
It's fun. It's a blast. Yeah. I've done it. I've ridden along with some drifters. And we've all tried drifting ourselves. So it's a blast. It's well worth it.
And here's the website if you want to sign up. It's called importexpo.net.
Good. Simple. Good. So, next
Sunday, if you don't have enough and you're not too tired after Saturday night races, you can go to the Marconi Automotive Museum.
Uh-huh.
Where they are celebrating the National Corvette Day. So Chevy lovers, Corvette lovers, you can't really miss that event. And it's going to be probably, I will imagine, hundreds of cars because being Southern California and Corvette being such a popular car around these areas that it's going to be a huge turnout. So bring your Corvette, or if you're a fan of the Corvettes, that'll be a nice day to go to the Marconi Museum.
It's only $15 per person and you get light breakfast.
With it. Yeah, that's included.
Yeah. I'll take
so
that.
You get to see all the Corvettes that are going to be on display. Plus you get to go wander into the museum, which has all the Marconi collection cars inside.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. They have a couple of Ferraris.
Yeah, very nice place.
John Marconi, I believe, won the Ferrari challenge. I think he won it twice. So, you know, they're not just collectors. They're actual race car drivers, these Marconis. Mm-hmm. So good for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of race memorabilia inside, too, on display. You know,
okay.
Fire suits and helmets and all kinds of stuff.
Good. That's the Marconi Automotive Museum on Sunday, June 30th. Gates open 7:45 a.m. Location, 1302 Industrial Drive, Tustin, California. In the heart.
Right off of Red Hill.
Right off of Red Hill. Okay. Yeah. Next up, we're planning a little bit farther ahead here. June 30th, the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum presents something called Ford 11-1. Now, this is not just a car show. This is a chance to immerse yourself in the riveting world of automotive history and innovation as they present an engaging talk at the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum. He is offering a deep dive into the remarkable journey of Henry Ford, his automobiles, and the moments that shaped his extraordinary success. The Zimmerman tells you to prepare to be transported through time and witness the evolution of America as it intertwines with the life and achievements of Henry Ford. And that's, you know, there's a lot to be said for anybody who starts a car company, but Henry Ford really put the world on wheels when he invented the assembly line and the Model T. The Model T could be afforded by so many people, whereas before you had to be a rich swell.
And we want to clarify that when you said the production line for automobiles, because he took what they were doing already with the pig farms and apply the same system to the production of cars. Very clever.
Pig farms?
Yep.
They built pigs?
No, that's the process, how they process the pigs.
They made the bacon.
That's, you know, it was the line, you know, what's called the line work, right?
Right.
That's where the first line work started.
Well, good. We can learn. Ooh. You can learn all about all of that down there at the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum, June 30th at 11 a.m. Tickets are $20 and include a museum tour. There's so much going on down there at the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum. Something going on in L.A. If you like motorcycles, Ricardo and I both ride them. The hand-built motorcycle show, which up until now had just been in Austin, Texas. That is going to also be in Los Angeles, July 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's at the downtown L.A. Auto Storage Facility, 1219 South Santa Fe. Three-day tickets, $35, but you can go just one day for $15. I think this group, it's a lot of the same guys brought it out here. And the group always has a very interesting collection of custom motorcycles. It's all custom motorcycles. Yes, there are some Harleys, but it's not just Harley Davidsons. They have BMWs, Ducatis, Royal Enfields, Indians. It's a great collection, or in the past, these shows have been great collections of custom motorcycles. It's an art. It's quite an art. You think, oh, you just put, you know, some kind of a sissy bar on the back. Nah, you got to get it all right. It's like, the more you look at a 32 Ford Highboy, the more you start to notice who gets it right and who doesn't, who understands it, who doesn't. And it's the same thing with custom motorcycles.
Yeah, this show, it's perhaps the most important in the country. I'm surprised that they decided to have a second venue because people work years for a couple of years building the bikes to participate in the famous hand-built show. And these machines are just quite extraordinary. And there's people coming from all over the world with entries. So it's a very impressive show that I'm glad that is coming to Los Angeles so local people can get a taste of what it is. And I'm very looking forward because every year the winners is just it's similar to the Motorama in a way, right? It's like where you see the best custom, you know, the best custom vehicles. This is just for two wheels. And sometimes there's some clever new suspensions, new ways to mount the engines. Definitely if you're into motorcycles, it's a show that you want to mark your calendar, July 5, 6, 7. On Friday, it starts at 6 p.m. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it starts from noon to, I think it's midnight on Saturday, and then 6 p.m. on Sunday. But definitely mark your calendar. You don't want to miss it because hopefully it returns, but it's one of those things that Austin has been their home base. So it could be that this is the only chance we have in L.A. to see this artisans and these craftsmen making these vehicles in L.A.
I'm sure they're going to be interesting. I was just up last month at the Quail Motorcycle Gathering with a whole different field of custom motorcycles available there. And there were some race bikes and stock bikes too. But the customs are, as Ricardo said, very clever to see how they do those. So how much time? I set the timer wrong. How much time do we have until
we can take a quick break and maybe mention that we need your help and we're talking to you. Yes, you are listening to the car show. And without your help, we would not be here. 50 years. That is quite a record. We don't know of any other show in the United States that has been on air for so long at the same station. So this is quite, I don't know what to call it really, because there's nothing similar. But Mark, Michelle, myself, we donate the time every Saturday to bring you the news, to bring you what's going on here in Los Angeles, which is the center of the car culture. We're so happy to be here and to share with you all this industry news, the test drives, and the shows are coming up. But we need your help. And for that, make a donation. It's today we make it very, very easy. You can go to the website or call the number that Mark knows, because I can't remember. My memory is really bad.
The number. What's the number, Mark? I got it now. It's 818-985-5735. Call us directly. 818-985-5735. Tell them that this is to support the car show. But you can also support all the other fine shows that we have. You can also donate online. If you don't want to talk to anybody, you go to online, kpfk.org, and make your donation. So many, in fact, I'm pretty sure almost all of the hosts that you hear on KPFK are not getting paid. There are only a small handful of people who are getting paid. So this money does not go into some fund, some slush fund, and is spent on some guy's private yacht or something. This money goes to keep the repeaters throughout Southern California mountaintops, to keep the broadcasting antenna on top of Mount Wilson, which is broadcasting at 112,000 watts. Imagine that. Your hair dryer is 1,000. This is like having 112 hair dryers blasting out the truth across Southern California and keeping you informed. And it shows that you don't get anywhere else. It's a perspective you don't get anywhere else. And you think, someone else will handle it. Someone else will take care of it. No, it's up to you. We are asking you to please call KPFK at 818-985-5735 or kpfk.org. And we are going to bring you now the news, because the news is next. The news never stops. It's like Newman said about the mail. The mail never stops. Neither does the news. And first up, we are going to talk about, it's a week old now, but Le Mans. I thought it was a great race. Ricardo, what did you think?
Oh, yes. Well, Le Mans, so much history. It started in 1923. An event that originally, you know, it was 3 days. It wasn't 24. It was 72 hours straight of racing.
Wow.
And a couple of years later, they figure out maybe it's a little bit too much. Let's make it just 24. But the history of this event, it's amazing. There's just so many stories through the years. But the biggest story this year is that Ferrari came back last year after 50 years of not racing at Le Mans officially, and they won with car number 50. And this year, car 51 won again. So that's two in a row for Ferrari coming back. And of course, all the Tifosi and all the enthusiasts of the brand from Maranello are extremely happy, since F1 is not going as well as they want to. At least it vindicates them that, yes, we're still out there in the trucks. We're still winning. And they're winning with technology that is pretty much based on production cars. So that was a quite a win. A very difficult race. Weather was terrible.
Rained. It rained so much.
It rained a lot.
And in Europe, they don't stop. Like NASCAR, they stop if it looks like it might rain. Here at Le Mans, they just keep going. And it rained a lot. And so the strategy, according to the stories that I read at AutoWeek.com, the strategy as to when to pull into the pits and change tires to accommodate the rain, or when things were drying up to get the slicks back on, that strategy and the strategic win was by Ferrari. Ferrari did it better than anybody else, in addition to driving better than
anybody. I don't know if they did it better than anybody, because in the middle of the night, they did make some mistakes with tire changes, and they suffer from that, but they were able to turn it around. Now, we want to mention that the circuit itself is 8.5 miles, which means when you have bad weather, it could be completely dry in one section of the racetrack, but 5 miles down the road, it could be pouring rain. And that's what makes it so tricky and so challenging for all the competitors.
Yeah, we thought last week when Michelle and I were talking about it, we thought the Penske Porsches would win, but they finished fourth. Second place at Le Mans went to the Toyota Gazoo Racing car, and third was the another of the Ferraris. Now, a lot of people want to know, who won? Did Corvette win? Well, no. In LMGT3, which is where Corvettes run. Now, Corvette has won many times in the past, but this year, LMGT3 went to a Porsche 911 GT3 R of driven by three guys you've never heard of. In fact, there are very few famous names racing this year, at least among the top runners. Second place went to BMW, a BMW M4, and third was a Ford Mustang. So USA, USA, yes, a Ford Mustang took third place in that race. So good for them, right?
And winning Le Mans means a lot for, especially for sports cars makers. And when you look at the list of the cars that have won through history, is Bugatti, Aston Martin, Jaguar, Porsche, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, Ferrari. So it's definitely it's a very special place. And part of the triple crown that they call, you know, if a driver is able to win the Indy 500, Monaco, and Le Mans, becomes a triple crown that only a handful of people have been able to achieve.
Yeah, Graham Hill did it. Who else? Mario Andretti.
No, Andretti never won Le Mans.
He never won Le Mans. He raced with Michael and their nephew. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is a rare thing. I've never done it. Ricardo, you've probably done it, but I haven't. So.
No. And don't forget about the Mazdas. The year that
Mazda won. Yeah. And it was the first Japanese brand to win Le Mans after many, many years of trying. And they won with an outstanding, and what is it called? The Mazda B777?
Oh, there was a 767.
767.
767. Mm-hmm. With a rotary engine.
Four rotors.
Mm-hmm. Four rotors.
Incredible sound. And I believe it was Formula One driver Jonathan Palmer.
Jonathan Palmer. I remember him in F1.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
and then they said, well, we guess we have to say no more rotary cars in the Le Mans so we can have some competition. So
it's not easy.
The Mazda fans always make a big joke out of that. We're so good we got banned.
Well, a group that did not get banned, and we talked about them a lot here, is the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride, which was held two weeks ago. And the results are in for that. This year, it's a global event, as you know. This year, there were 959 rides, Distinguished Gentlemen's Rides, in 105 countries with 113,000 riders. And just this last time, those riders raised $7.6 million to go to good causes, to men's health and to men's suicide prevention, both very good causes. The total since the event started in 2012, they've raised $52.8 million. An excellent cause, a fun day. Ricardo has ridden in it and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot of money.
It's a wonderful event. Good cause, because men are very skeptical about going to the doctor, and they're very skeptical about sometimes realizing that there might be some issues. And it's like, no, I'm a man. I don't need a doctor. I can take care of myself. But we know that suicide among men, it's a big, big problem. And this is a way to address and remind everyone that, hey, you need a checkup. You need a friend. And you always make good friends when you ride on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's right. There are no motorcycles parked in front of psychiatrist's office. That's the famous expression.
Oh,
and then our famous addendum to that is, yeah, they're all parked in front of the orthopedic surgeon. Ha! Okay. But moving right along, what time do you guys have? How are we doing?
Well, we're doing just fine.
We can electrify
the audience now.
We can electrify the audience. We got a couple of items about electric cars. This being KPFK, we're all about progress and the future and what's going on. Fisker filed for bankruptcy, to no one's surprise. Yes.
No.
Again.
Officially filed for bankruptcy. So
Henrik is what?
It depends which companies you count, but he might be 0-3 this year. I wonder if he's listening. Henrik, we love you, man. But
Keep trying.
He's a great designer. I don't have any talent. I'm not a designer. I'm not a car captain of industry or something. I think it's really tough to be both a great designer and run a car company. You can do one or you can do the other, but you can't do them all. So he filed for bankruptcy. We'll see what happens with that. Maybe by the time, yeah, who knows how long. Let's take a poll as to when he starts his next company.
I'll give you 3 years.
On the other end of the spectrum, Elon Musk got $46 billion, billion with a B. And by Jiminy, that's a lot of cash. So Elon is doing well. Of course, Elon's not a designer. You just have to look at the Cybertruck to see that.
Oh, but that mean? Was that mean? Was mean. Yes, but he did have to fight for this payday. Don't forget that the shareholders did not want to give this to him. And they were saying, hey, sales are down. What are you doing? You want more money?
Well, sales are down. Is it in stock or something?
Well, he already has a lot of stock, but that's one issue. But it was a package, you know, his pay compensation package.
I think all that came from the savings of not having a press fleet. That had to be at least 46 billion.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Probably.
Yes. Right, no PR there. People to haggle with. Yeah.
No PR people to scream at when your company is criticized.
But
not that he ever did that.
But you have to look at the other side. People that believe in him and invested, you know, early on, they all did very, very well. So, you know, there's only a handful of, well, there's definitely not another Elon Musk in the world. Like there is no, you know, these are geniuses. There was only one Henry Ford. There's only one Elon Musk. And either you like him or you don't like him at a personal level. But regardless, they're able to achieve things that seem impossible.
And I never would have thought that Tesla would have lasted. I never would have thought they would have produced more than 100 cars, you know, because usually, as we see with our friend Henrik Fisker, you know, it's very difficult to make cars. They're something, depending on how you count parts, there are at least 6,000 parts in a car, and that might include sub-assemblies, and all of them have to work, and you can't just say, oh, well, you know, most of them work. No, it has to be all of them. So, well, you know, good for Elon for keeping the thing going.
And he has been instrumental in this movement with electric cars. I mean, I think if he had not made the push that he made, other manufacturers would have taken longer to really address, you know, and consider having electric vehicles. Even today, we know that many of the manufacturers are either regretting or bringing down their hopes on the electric car. So without Elon Musk, some of them would have not even started making electric cars.
Yeah. And we are starting to see the, what would you call it? A plateau of the electric car sales. And in fact, we just got a release from our friends at IC Cars, which a company that features Carl Brower, who has been a guest on this show many, many times, but we don't have him right now. But this study shows that used EV prices fell below gasoline model prices for the first time. This happened in February, and EVs continue to drop in price faster than traditional cars, creating a widening gap in EV versus gasoline values. Now, this isn't just some wacko thing. This guys at IC Cars analyzed over 2.2 million used cars, 1 to 5 year old used cars sold May 2023 and 2024, and found that the average used EV price is down 29.5% year over year versus just 6.1% for the average used gasoline price. So now is the time to buy a used EV, right, Ricardo?
Well, I think also when you have to think about the people that are buying, first of all, are they really buying or they're leasing these electric vehicles? And I think there's a lot of leasing and nobody wants a used electric vehicle. Why? Well, first of all, you don't have the incentives that you have when you're purchasing a new one. And also, I think the electric car has that sort of aura that is the new vehicle, the new technology. That's what you want. But it's not the same when it's used because now it's like, it's just like if you need to buy a computer, you probably are not going to shop for a used laptop, right? You're just going to get a new laptop. And I think a little bit of that translate into these electric cars because the mindset is we like high tech. The people that most of the people in the United States that are attracted to the electric vehicle is because they like the high tech, as opposed to the rest of the world that they're looking in different ways to electric car. But in America, I think it's unfortunate that the first movement of the electric cars, it became sort of a luxury and novelty item. The prices were very, very high. And now that they're starting to drop, people are just not considering it because it still costs more than a gasoline engine. So people feel they don't want to take the risk.
Yeah, the cars with the biggest drop, the number one model is the Jaguar I-Pace. Now, I'm not surprised by that. I don't know why. I think Jags drop in price pretty quickly. That a year over year price difference is over 30% drop. Next is the Chevy Bolt EV, 28%. Hyundai Kona Electric. So they were all, they're from luxury cars to inexpensive entry-level cars. Tesla Model X dropped 18.8%. The Maserati Levante electric vehicle dropped 15.5% year over year. So,
but how many of those were sold?
Of the Maserati not Levante? Very many Levantes compared to like Model 3s.
Or so, Model S, right?
There is a flaw in, maybe not a flaw, but a point of distinction in that data. Nonetheless,
but, you know, this data, Mark, what this data tells me is people do not want this small electric car. When you look in general, right, the ones that depreciated the most are the Bolt, the Kona, the Niro, and the Nissan Leaf, and the Tesla 3, which are the basic electric motors, which would be, hey, this is what we really want. We want something that it's economical, that it's, you know, small size, compact size to go around town and save on gas and help mitigate the pollution. But I think that's not happening. Unfortunately, that's not happening.
I was thinking when I looked at the data that it was because the entry-level buyer is having trouble, and you don't see the fall off in the higher, you know, the more expensive ones.
Except the Jag I-Pace.
Yeah. Well, did that ever really sell well?
No.
I don't think it did.
Yeah. But we don't have those sales figures in front of us, so nor do we have the Maserati Levante sales figures.
But yeah, like what I'm saying is that you don't see the Lucid Air on there, for example, which is
right
top end.
Yeah.
I think that's because they haven't, the leases are not over yet. Most of those are on 3 year.
So to watch for next year and see what happens.
I think once the lease is over, I just don't see people jumping to buy used cars. I honestly just don't see it.
Well, who knows?
We'll see.
One thing I do see, who watched the Cannonball Run, that movie that came out in 1981? Everybody
millions
watched
of times,
that.
Yeah.
The most amazing thing to me about that movie was the front wing on the Countach. I mean, how old was I in 1981? I was pretty old, but I was still amazed. I thought that can't
You're
be
a teenager. Come on,
that can't be aerodynamically helpful. I was 21 in 1981. Yeah. So
you were not looking at the Lamborghini; you were looking at the drivers of the Lamborghini
and the two drivers, the two actresses who drove that car in the Cannonball Run. Adrienne Barbeau, who went on to be a Scream Fest? How would you describe the horror movies? She was very famous for those, but also she was one of the actresses there. And the other actress, hang on, Tara Buckman. So they were in the movie in 1981. They are back together again I don't know what the reunion is. They were driving a Countach LP400S in the movie, and Lamborghini brought together the two actresses and the car. Now, why did they do this? Who knows? But the Countach LP400S was produced 45 years ago. And it had the one in the movie had black exterior and mustard interior, shipped to the dealership in Rome and sold, ending up in Florida. So why am I getting this release from Lamborghini? Who cares? It brings back so many great movies.
But there is a special edition commemorating the 40 years of that Countach.
There we go.
There you go.
That's the reason.
And I was going to tell you guys a joke. Okay, so did you hear about the new country song where the cowboy's dog hangs around and his wife hangs around, but his pickup truck leaves him.
Because it's an autonomous vehicle?
Yes.
exactly. That's good. That's yep. good.
There's your EV humor.
That is.
And on that note, let's remind everyone that we are not here just because we want to enjoy the camaraderie of all our audience, but also we want to serve the public, making sure that you make intelligent decisions when you're buying a car. But for that, we need your help. Yes, we need your help in the forms of a donation so this station can stay along and we can continue for another, I can't be here 50 years, but maybe another 10 or 15, I don't know, 50 years of the car show on KPFK. That is a record. We thank you very, very much for listening to us, even though I'm told that some of you put earplugs on. But regardless, we need your help. And Mark, what's the phone number to call to make a donation
the
right
phone
now?
Number. Is, get ready for this, it's 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make your donation. 112,000 watts, that's the power that KPFK uses to generate this signal you are listening to right now, listening to for free, and you listen to for free every week, Saturdays from 1 to 2, to get the car show. And all the other great programming right after us is Bill Gardner with Rhapsody in Black. Right before us is Spotlight Africa. Both of those shows bring you stuff you will not, content that you will not get anywhere else, as is the case with all the shows that you enjoy here on KPFK. But we need to keep the lights on. We need to keep the transmitter transmitting. We need to keep Wendell in Master Control happy. Hi, Wendell. Thank you for everything you do. We need a lot to keep this station going. And the only way we can do it, it's not through corporate sponsorship. We are free of corporate sponsorship. We are not being held under the yoke of oppression. We are free to say what we want on KPFK, but we need your help to do it. So please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. And one other place that you should go, you should take a Nissan when you go. What do you think, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You got to get yourself into a Rogue if you want to go anywhere. I just had one this week. I had the 2024 Rogue Platinum Edition. And guess what? It's all-wheel drive.
Woohoo!
And it has sport mode.
Yeah.
And it's in its second year of having a turbo. So this isn't your old, you know, cousin's Nissan Rogue from, you know, a couple years ago. They've made big changes. And it's, I got the top trim level. Okay. But why do people love this car? This is the number one seller for Nissan. And it has been for years. And it's not just the Nissan, like, top seller. It's one of the top sellers in America. Amongst all cars, it's actually number 9. It's in the top 10 for selling cars in the USA in 2023. That's sold 270,000 of them. So people love this. Why do they love it? Okay, the size is just right. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's a 2-row SUV with 5 people can fit comfortably. And then it's got great cargo space in the back. And if you want even more, you flip down the seats. Great room in the back seat for children or people with long legs. I went in the back. It is so comfortable back there. You can't believe it. They put a lot of technology into the seats. If you want to do a deep dive, there's some stuff on the internet about what they did to create these zero gravity seats. It's amazing. Hey. Yeah. So
do you actually
people
float
love that.
Above them? How does that work?
I don't know, but they're comfortable.
Good.
So, yeah. So, like I say, you have a turbo. It's a 1.5 liter. It does have the CVT, but they call it their own type of CVT called Xtronic CVT with a registered trademark here on the Monroney, you guys.
Okay.
So it must be something special. Again, unless you're really into how the transmission works, you won't notice. It's fine. It really works just fine.
Most people probably don't notice a CVT.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Exactly.
No.
And yeah.
No, I do.
We
I do have a question.
We
Michelle.
Do. super sophisticated.
What? Ricardo,
I have a question. When you mentioned, you know, that he's the highest seller, but what is the percentage of that total sales that are going to rental companies? Because my understanding is almost 40% of the sales are going to rental companies.
Where did you get that, 40%?
Yeah, I didn't see automotive that either, news. But that's a good catch.
Automotive News. Automotive News.
40%.
Yeah, wow. I'd have to say, yeah, I've had a couple on when I've gone on trips, and it is a really good rental car. Okay, remember what we went through with Enterprise and how they were dumping all their Teslas? Because the consumer on vacation doesn't want to deal with a headache. This car is so easy when you jump in it. Everything is very intuitive. You can go right into your you've got the car going in seconds, really. There's nothing crazy about the technology or the infotainment or how to get it in gear. Some of these cars, you don't know how to turn it on. You don't know how to get it in gear. You can't figure out the radio. All these little things, the AC, it's right there.
It's all intuitive.
And there's knobs. It's very easy to figure out. Even a blonde could do it.
Michelle, of course, is blonde, so it's okay for her to have said that.
Correct.
Did you know that it was a 3-cylinder engine?
Yes, I did.
Just like Ford makes a 3-cylinder. So why not? It's a turbo, variable compression turbo. So
yeah, so it gives you 200 horsepower.
Wow, that's
225
enough.
Pound-feet of torque.
Yep.
Okay, another reason why people love this, aside from being a great rental car because it is easy and comfortable, is the pricing is just right. I believe one of our stats that we had was the average car now is around $45,000.
Right.
This is top trim level, $40,000.
And to get into it, it's like 28 something, right? The very
exactly. I did write all this down. So they had four trim levels. The bottom one starts at $28,850. That's the S trim. SV starts at $30,570. The SL trim starts at $35,700. And the Platinum that I drove starts at $39,130. I had it equipped with some fancy add-ons. The hands-free, you know, power steering and lift gate. I would want that. Okay, if this is a family car, you bet I want my power lift gate. Yes, that's worth it.
And it,
comes with it.
Yeah, you get up to 36 miles per gallon too on the highway, yes. 29 city. So it helps pay for itself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, the size was just right. And if you're into safety, I have to plug the safety stats on this thing too. NHTSA gave it a 5-star rating and it was an IIHS top safety pick.
Great.
Can't get any better than that. You just can't.
Or do you want people?
So that's why it's a great rental car and a great family car.
Okay. And you had it for 1 week, right?
Correct. 1 week.
It's a great commercial.
I still have it till tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Well, actually, good. And the day after. Yeah.
Good. You're set.
And if you want to make one, you could. They have a configurator. Don't you love that word?
Uh-huh.
So you can build your own at nissanusa.com.
Good. Good.
And that way you can plug in whatever packages you want on whatever trim level you want. Now, do you need the premium? No, not really. You could probably do quite well just with the lowest trim level and then add on the, you know, some of the options.
Yep. Good.
Because you'll get all the safety standard. You don't need to add that on.
Mm-hmm. You have me convinced.
So I loved it. And I had champagne color with black trim. So it was a dual color. I just thought it was a good looking car, just the right size and very comfortable.
So maybe you can buy it out of the press fleet when they're done with it.
On the design side, I think they've done a good job. Overall, I think it's a competitive vehicle in a very competitive segment. And as always, I will say cross-reference, go test drive a few vehicles. Don't fall in love with the first ones because you might regret it later on. So very, very competitive segment, that medium-sized SUVs, crossovers. No, nobody calls them crossovers anymore. But that's what it is. With Nissan, I still think what happened with Nissan. Nissan has not been the same since Carlos Ghosn left. There have been a lot of changes at executive levels, and they make a good product, but it's not the Nissan Datsun that once was. And I think they're working very hard to get back to that.
Yeah. And they just canceled the GTR too.
I know. I saw that.
And they drop over 10% for the price of the electric car.
Hey, speaking of electric cars.
Aria. Is that the Aria?
Aria. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I had one. I liked it, but I guess it was priced too high at first.
Yes,
and then they lowered
that.
It down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they lowered it down as a direct result of the car
show. That's right. They listened to us.
Yeah. But speaking of electric cars, Ricardo, you have something about
them. Well, I just wanted to mention that I was in Mexico and I had the opportunity. I just stumbled about, you know, a BYD, which is Beyond Your Dreams.
I was going to say, what
Build
is it
Your Dreams.
Build Your Dreams, the Chinese company that is the number one manufacturer of electric vehicles in the world. They have already surpassed Tesla volumes. So they definitely, I think they know what they're doing. And I can't remember now, they just launched a sub-branch, just like you have Toyota, Lexus, just like you have Honda and Acura. They have BYD and another company that is producing premium electric vehicles, but we can talk about that later on. I just want to mention that I had the opportunity to, like I said, I was just walking. I find myself in front of a BYD dealer. I go in inside because I wanted to check the Dolphin. It's not available in the United States. I don't think it will be available anytime soon, but it's an all electric vehicle, compact size, four door, pretty much the size of a Honda Fit. If you recall the Honda Fit, and I'm trying to think what would be comparable today, because in today's markets, nobody wants small cars
anymore.
Maybe a
Nissan Aria.
No, it's small. It's a little bit smaller than that.
Smaller than that.
But
okay.
It's in Mexico, it's powered by a 70 kilowatt motor. In Europe, it comes with 150 kilowatt motor. It uses NEDC super fast DC technology, where you can charge the vehicle in about 30 minutes, 70 to 80%. It has a range of about 250 miles, and it has a cost of about $14,000 to $16,000. And I thought
that,
you know,
that doesn't have to meet any of our standards for a crash test and rollover and all the goofy standards
and
we
emissions.
Have.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We were talking a couple of weeks ago about the Chinese electric car for $11,000. That's not ever going to meet U.S. standards. But it's neat that you saw that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I was very surprised because I was expecting, based on the price and based that it doesn't meet all these requirements, right? I was expecting to see something very, very different. And then when I was with the car and looking around and looking at all the weldings and the bolt, you know, the ways it put together underneath, the guy was looking at me, hey, what are you doing? You know, it's like you're inspecting this car. Like, what are you trying to do? But I was very curious because I never seen one. So I was trying to get as much as information through my head. And I was, you know, it's very well built. And I was like, this company is into something. And definitely it's approaching the electric vehicle from the point of view where I thought it would be important. It's like, hey, make it low cost that is available for everyone so everyone can try it. And then you can make up your mind, right? If it's electric vehicle is for you or not. But I was very surprised, as I said, I was impressed by the high quality. And this company is going to be a giant in the world. I have to tell you that it's being distributed in more countries. It seems like every year this company keeps growing, and it's going to be one of those manufacturers that are going to be part of pretty soon in the top 10 in the world.
We heard a lot about BYD. I'm thinking like 15 years ago, because they were going to be a big deal here in the US. And then they made some buses, and then we just haven't heard about them in a long time.
Well, the buses are still available here in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the problem with the administration wants to increase the tariffs on these to sort of block them from coming in. So it's going to go from 25% to 100% tariffs if they get their way.
I don't think, honestly, I believe that the Chinese are not interested in the near term in the United States. They have the whole world to themselves. So it makes more
sense. And they're requiring their own citizens to buy their cars. So that also helps.
You know, I've seen the approach, and they are so intertwined now all through Latin America, in Europe, in Asia. It's going to be a very dominant company in the future.
We'll see what happens. I was in Chengdu, China, right after the government mandated that all of those little scooters had to be electric. And I talked to a couple people, and they said, yeah, well, for a while you could pay off the cop and keep riding your electric scooter. Not anymore. They're all electric. So when the Chinese government says we're going to go on all electric, you go all electric. That stuff doesn't fly here in the U.S. of A., at least not yet. We'll see what happens. Who knows? So,
yep. Well, that's cool, Ricardo.
We also have a decidedly non-electric vehicle. We have a choice of two here to talk about. How much time do we have left? Since
about
I
about 4 minutes.
Four. Yeah, oh, does that include minutes. Our fund driver?
No, it doesn't. So we made it. Maybe we need to talk about that.
Okay. With 4 minutes to go. Okay. Next week we'll talk about the McLaren Artura Spider, which was fantastico. And we'll also talk on the other end of the spectrum, the Ineos Grenadier Quartermaster, which is a pickup truck. So we'll talk about that next week. And that gives you incentive to hang on.
A foreign pickup truck trying to make inroads in America. Good luck.
Good luck to them. and good luck to us here at KPFK, because we need you. Right, Michelle?
One minute. You know, I wanted to mention that if you have a car you want to donate, KPFK will take it. And you can not only go on their website and arrange the donation, they will come pick it up for you free of charge. But you can also call them if you don't want to use the computer. They have their own line, a separate one, just for car donations. Here's the number, 877-573-5288. And like I said, we'll tow, no cost.
Hey, make your significant other happy and get rid of that beater you have, the Camaro you have on the front lawn, the old Ford in the garage that's all taken apart. You are never going to finish that. Call that number that Michelle just gave. Donate the car to KPFK, a worthy cause. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for that. And if you don't have a beater car that you want to get rid of, but you do have $10 or $100 or $1 million, by all means, please give us a call here at KPFK, 818-985-5735, or go to kpfk.org and make your donation. You enjoy the show. You listen to it. I've met a lot of listeners. It's always nice to meet them, and they are very enthusiastic. They know a lot about cars, and we are sort of beholden to them to get all these facts right, because they know probably more than us on some of these things. And so we thank them. And all we do is we ask you guys, please give us a call and make a donation to keep KPFK on the air. Call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. How much time do we have to continue begging? 1 minute to go. Okay, we're almost out of time. Michelle, do you want to talk about our social media presence?
I sure do, always. Yeah, I was going to say, we do get some messages on our Facebook from time to time. And so you can't give us a message unless you follow and like us. The website, the Facebook page is called The Car Show at KPFK 90.7 FM. And beware of imposters. There's only one KPFK, The Car Show.
Okay. And one more time,
Car Show.
one more time, please call and donate 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. Ricardo, should we call it a day?
I think you should announce what's coming up, because there's always wonderful music and time
Bill
to
Gardner,
relax. Saturday afternoon.
Bill Gardner on Rhapsody in Black. Great music. 2 hours of great music you didn't even know you loved. Stick around for that. And we, in the meantime, will see you next week on The Car Show.
That's what is good about KPFK. You do get it, that it's the people, not the manufacturers that are selling us all the cheap soap and toothpaste and general unhealthy junk. But it's really information that is quite usable. I'm Joyce Clark from Bellingham, Washington. I listen to KPFK as much as I possibly can, and I do support it.
KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and if you're in Bellingham or anywhere else in the world, www.kpfk.org.
Hi. Hi, I'm Andrea Martin. You might forget me from the 80s. KPFK is listener-supported public radio in Los Angeles that refuses to take money from corporations. They didn't refuse, however, to take money from me, and all I have left to show for it is a biodegradable tote bag to store all my other biodegradable tote bags in, and a bumper sticker, which they happily said was mine to enjoy. If only I hadn't donated my car to KPFK, I would have a bumper to stick it on. So please join me in showing your support by calling